Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's message, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Luke 17, verses 26 to 33, the time when the Son of Man is revealed. This message, which was originally preached in 2021 at a National Day of Prayer, featured the fact that the times when the Son of Man is revealed will be times of rampant materialism and also of rampant moral decay. And Dr. Beakey has spoken on the assault of God's created order in the transgender movement and also on the plague of abortion. Now he will continue to discuss the moral decay involved in the taking on of national debt as well as the coming judgment.
And finally, thirdly, rather than wisely using the funds it gathers from our taxes for justice and public good, the present administration is now proposing to spend another $6 trillion in irresponsible spending to lead our nation into a deepening pit of debt and immoral financial bondage, abandoning all semblance of fiscal responsibility. And so instead of honoring the God-given responsibilities of parents to raise their children and see to their education, it seeks to bring all children and young people from preschool to early adulthood under government control, so that more and more and more people depend on the government for their livelihood. Biden has proposed the American Families Act, so-called American Families Act, which would, among other things, include universal public preschool for 3 and 4 year olds, further incentivizing mothers to turn their children over to the indoctrination of the government at a younger age than ever in order to return full time to the workforce. And the plan also includes, by the way, 2 years of free public community college, further incentivizing that same extension of indoctrination beyond high school into the college and university years. This is serious stuff. This is godless stuff. This is akin to the times of Noah and Lot. But we're not just pointing a finger at this administration, and it's legislating so much immorality. And I only talked about 3 areas. I didn't talk about anything political, just 3 areas in immorality. But when we point a finger, you've got to remember we're pointing 3 fingers back at ourselves. Because guess what? We're the nation that has promoted these kinds of leaders. A nation usually gets the kind of leaders it asks for. The kind of leaders it will tolerate. And we are all guilty for tolerating such evils in our land while praying so little against them. This whole church ought to be in one unending prayer meeting, as it were, from day to day to day, for this needy, needy, sinful, grievously sinful nation. And the end result is that, dear parents, we're living in a grave time, and we have every right to tremble for our children. When you let your children go beyond your doorstep, they are going into enemy territory. As one of my children said to me not too long ago, the America that you talked about us when we were young, that America is no more. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Today, our society is filled in the whole fabric of our national life with amoralistic teaching at every level. Colleges, our universities are poisoned with it. Just poisoned with it. There's a tremendous need today for a sound, reformed, experiential, biblical, practical college where young people can go and hear every professor speaking Bible-based truth Actually, we've started a committee some months ago that we're hoping to bring to NAPARC a plan for such a college. It's very small to begin with. Baby steps. It will take a long time, no doubt. But to go to NAPARC, North American Presbyterian Reformed Churches, who at least have a conservative element to their teaching and an embrace of the Reformed confessions, and asking them, come fall, do you see the need as well? And this committee is going to present the dire need to NAPARC. We start a college, a university. It's a small speck in a large nation. But we've got to begin somewhere. We've got to do something. Young person after young person, thousands, millions are going into our educational college university systems and coming out godless. This moral decay teaches us that Christ is on the way, but it doesn't absolve us of our responsibility. And so in every area and in every commandment, we are making ourselves ripe as a nation for radical destruction. And Satan wants us. He wants our children especially. He wants our young people. He wants the future of this land. And the only way that can be reversed is if the Holy Spirit comes and does a mighty work. And we storm the mercy seat for that. And family-oriented, biblically grounded, Christ-centered instruction replaces the wickedness of this world. Through family worship, through private devotion, through conscientious catechizing, through faithful preaching. Otherwise, materialism, secularism, humanism, sexualism, they're all going to merge together and just take the whole nation and cast it into the pitsand and quicksand of self-destruction. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. But then Jesus goes on to say, and that's our third thought, that final judgment is coming. The end times are before us. He's coming in a time when no one expects him. When all this working and building and planting and marrying and eating and drinking and sinning is going on, he will come. And he will come exactly as we preached to you last Sunday evening. He'll come in the clouds, in the glory of the Father, in his own glory, in the glory of the angels. He'll come. He'll come for you and for me as well. And to reject him here in this life is the greatest abomination in his sight of all. Because to reject the Son of God, given for the salvation of sinners, in God's mind, unbelief. There is no greater sin. No greater sin. Our forefathers were all united in telling us that to reject the Son of God is to reject God himself. And they were only telling us what John told us in the first epistle of John. And this is what Jesus clearly implies also at the end of this chapter. At the end of this chapter, he says, the disciples came to him and said, where, Lord? Where is all this going to happen? Where shall this judgment take place? And no doubt they were expecting Jesus to say, well, somewhere far away, somewhere outside of Israel. Perhaps there where the Canaanites dwelt, or the cursed people, or other places throughout the world that were steeped in heathendom lived. But Jesus' answer is this: wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. What a strange answer. What in the world does that mean? Well, in Bible lands, the eagles were mostly birds of prey which fed on dead carcasses. And Jesus is saying, wherever there were dead bodies, there the eagles came. So he's saying, when I come again, wherever there are spiritually dead souls, wherever there are dead bones that have never been breathed upon by the Spirit of sovereign grace and be given life, in other words, wherever there is death in the pot, There are the eagles. There is the wrath of God poured out upon the unbelievers and the rejecters of my son. There will be everlasting hell, and there will be everlasting destruction. There where there are dead souls, Christ will come with his judgment. No matter what land, no matter what church, no matter what people. My friend, if you're not born again, the torment of God's wrath will be like an eagle eating away, like an eagle feasting, like a tormenting worm that dies not in hell forever and forever. It is a final judgment. You've got to be saved. You've got to be turned around. You've got to be living Godward and not with your back to Him. You've got to bend the knee before the King of Kings if you're going to escape this dreadful judgment on the great day. God calls you and me, as we contemplate this final judgment, to solemn remembrance. That's my fourth and last thought, to solemn remembrance. He says in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. You see, this isn't just about a nation. Individuals make up a nation. We are all individuals. And Jesus takes us from the national plane, Noah's generation and Lot's generation, to one individual, Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. An inevitable judgment is coming. It's not coming just to nations. It's coming to every individual. Remember, please remember, Jesus is saying, Lot's wife. And what was the problem with Lot's wife? Well, the world remained in her heart, and thus her heart remained in the world. So she couldn't help but look back. Her looking back is not just, oh, she had a glance and therefore God killed her, like the world would be prone to interpret this event. Her looking back is a reflection of her heart. She hankered after Sodom and Gomorrah. She retained a love for the world in her soul. She loved the things of time and sense more than God. And so the question is not just how is our nation doing. We're not only to take national spiritual inventory of how we're presently doing, as we talked about a little bit tonight in three areas. But how are you doing as an individual? If God were to come for you tonight, if it wasn't Mary Carlson's name announced tonight, but your name, would it be well with you? Or would this be your reality? Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Even as you sit here tonight, or as you're listening live stream, where's your heart? Is your heart in the world? Who has your heart? Jesus? Or do you just wear a cloak of religion, but your heart isn't here? Are you void within of all godliness? Lot's wife is a warning beacon to us, a pillar of salt, warning that we must not be dead souls, but living souls in this world, to sanctify and to give, like Caleb, a good report of God in the midst of a dark and perverse generation, and to follow Him fully. You and I have had more warnings and more invitations and more opportunities. Even our boys and girls have. And those who have lived much longer have had many, many more than Lot's wife ever had. But God destroyed her. for keeping her heart in this world. What will he do to us if we wed ourselves to this world? Will you live only for yourself, for things and stuff, and for temporary wicked pleasures or temporary decent pleasures? Or will you be part of the solution that this nation needs? Will you become a prayer warrior on behalf of this land? Will you grieve for the dishonor that is done to God's name by the sins of this nation and your own sins? A nation founded on Christian principles. What will you do in such a time as this? Will you go on never praying, never doing anything, never lifting a finger about the millions and millions and millions of murder going on before our eyes in this land? Will you just go on your own way and wait till Jesus comes soon and be unprepared? Remember, Lot's wife. Today, God still sends you his servants. Please don't refuse to hear the word of God. To truly hear, you know what it means. It means to hear with spiritual ears. It means to bend the knee. It means to repent. It means to surrender. It means to lose your life. To lose your own righteousness, that is. Jesus puts it this way. Verse 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. This is the wonder of the gospel. When we surrender to Jesus, we lose our life. We even expect to perish. We're sinners. We cast ourselves at his feet. And he saves us. When we lose our lives, lose our righteousness, we get saved. And then we become prayer warriors for the church, for the nation, for our families, for our own poor, needy soul. And that's what this nation needs. Not one or five of us or 10 of us, all of us. The whole nation needs desperately repentance and reformation and faith and revival. Spirit work revival, beginning in the lives of God's own children and spilling over by the Spirit's application to the unsaved and going from place to place to place to place to place, proclaiming, living, exemplifying the name of our God, the gospel of our God. That's exactly what happened in the days of the Reformation. That's exactly what happened in the days of the Great Awakening. Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, the glory of God alone. That's what we need to get back to. Not grace plus works, not scripture plus tradition, not Christ plus the Pope, not the glory of God plus the glory of man. You see, Rome says all these things we need, scripture, faith, grace, Christ, and the glory of God, but not alone. You've got to add man-made things to them. And that's the destruction of the church. We need the doctrine of salvation by grace alone. We need to find it our very life. We need to exemplify it. We need to proclaim it. We need to live it. Remember Lot's wife. If we don't repent and we don't believe the gospel with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we don't stand up for the cause of God, if we're not active in prayer, if we're not writing our political leaders about the immoralities, some of which I mentioned tonight, if we're not active in our local neighborhoods, in among those with whom we meet, if we don't open our mouths in prayer to God and open our mouths to other people about the truth of God in love for their soul, if we're not examples in prayer, in walk, in talk, before the watching world, we are part of the problem and not part of the solution. America today is starving, starving for true heroes of the faith, like the reformers were. Starving for people to get down on their knees and cry out, "Oh God, thou hast done it in ages past. Do it again. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of wrath, remember mercy. Help us, Lord. Help us to remember Lot's wife." Dear church family, we are a needy people. The world is empty. The world is empty. Don't turn to the world. Turn to the living God. You will only find peace. You will only find joy. You will only find purpose in God through His Son. Without God, without Jesus, without the Spirit, you'll just deceive your own soul in the end. You'll just destroy yourself. Ask God to become too strong for you. Ask Him to show you the guilt of your inability, the guilt of your unwillingness. Don't look back on the Sodom of this world. Say, "Farewell, world. It is empty. It is poor. You will lead me into hell, world." It will give you no abiding satisfaction. It's poison. Walk as a godly people, looking to the Lord. Seek the Lord while He is to be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and turn to the living God, for He will have mercy upon you and He will abundantly pardon. Remember Lot's wife. Amen. Great God of heaven, we bow before Thee tonight, burdened with the need of souls, for the needs of the nation, but looking to Thee to do for us what we cannot seem to ever do for ourselves. But oh, may we lose our lives at Thy feet, confess our sin, and be found by that seeking Savior who delights to have poor, needy sinners go lost at His feet to save them. Come and use this sermon tonight, Lord, for the well-being of our nation and for the well-being of individual souls destined for that all-decisive eternity. Gather us in, Lord Jesus, those who are unsaved yet among us, before it is too late, before Thou dost come on the clouds at any time, for the days of Noah and the days of Lot are here, big time. And those are the days in which Thou wilt come again. O God, have mercy. Give repentance, reformation, revival, we pray. And do be with our dear church family. Be with all those who are suffering right now from COVID in various degrees, Lord. Have mercy upon them all and grant healing, but also grant us to learn through this pandemic our radical dependency upon Thee, and bless it to many souls among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, or to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God." May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live.